Today on Annenberg Radio News.
What are you doing trying to build a monument to segregation? This is no councilman. I want to build a monument to what we achieved in spite of segregation.
A little known part of Los Angeles history with a visit to the African American Firefighter Museum. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 22, 2009. I'm Brittany Knotts. Early this morning, more than 1,000 police officers and federal agents took down the Roland 40s gang. The Crips-related group was based in South Los Angeles. Police say they targeted the gang's shot callers and arrested 29 members. Chief Bratton wanted to send a message to the gang members.
A group of about 70 people gathered.
And some of these characters are never going to see the outside world again. They're going to be locked away in a federal prison someplace out in the middle of Butte, Montana for the rest of their lives. That's a good place for them because they won't be able to bother anybody but themselves.
Bratton also thanked the FBI for its role in the year-long operation. The chief said when he first came to L.A. 7 years ago, the LAPD was a standoffish. Now, with his term ending in 9 days, he believes that has changed. Trutanich stressed that this has been a long time coming.
Today's effort was not the only effort that this office has taken against this particular gang. In the past, we secured a permanent injunction against the Rolling 40s. And if they continue to violate the law, I can assure you that this won't be my last action.
Trutanich says the fight to take back the streets from gangs is far from over.
The city attorney's office wants to send a clear and concise message to this gang and to every other gang and gang member in the city of Los Angeles that we intend to enforce the law and that we will use every single remedy, civil and criminal, at our disposal to get this job done. And we will be back.
Over the past 2 days, more than 300 suspects have been arrested in a series of drug raids across the country, including Southern California. The arrests are aimed at the L.A. Familia cartel. Attorney General Eric Holder calls it the newest and most violent of Mexico's 5 drug cartels. In Southern California, more than 500 officers worked to seize 150 pounds of methamphetamines, 22 weapons, and more than $135,000 in cash. On a day that police were cracking down on gangs and drug cartels, some people were calling attention to the issue of police brutality. As Sydney Champion reports, protesters today marked the 14th annual National Day of Protest to Stop Police Brutality.
A group of about 70 people gathered this afternoon on Florence Avenue and Crenshaw Boulevard. Melvin Dixon was a close friend of Darren Brown, a teenager who was shot by police in 2005.
He was getting out the car, and the car was in drive. He was getting out the car, and the car went in reverse. And they thought that he was trying to do something to harm them, but he wasn't. He was just getting out the car. And they just shot him for no reason, and that wasn't right.
Brown's aunt hopes to draw attention to police brutality in Los Angeles.
People just need to be aware of these police around them and the situations around them. Not saying all police are bad, because all of them are. But you look at the bad ones, and that reflects the good ones.
While protesters were marching, a group of police officers were nearby to close off roads and make sure there were no problems. Los Angeles Police Department Captain Robert Green says police brutality has decreased this year. However, Green acknowledges that police do make mistakes.
So I'm very comfortable that we don't have cops that are out here doing evil things. So I'd love to say that it would never happen again, but as long as we have human beings acting as police officers, we're going to have mistakes. And those are tragic. There's nothing we can do to bring those rounds back.
This is the 14th year the coalition mobilized to bring awareness to police and community relations. Tonight, a vigil will be held at Leimart Park at 6 p.m. to remember those who died from police brutality. Sydney Champion, Annenberg Radio News.
The Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, or ACORN, has been the target of attacks from conservatives, but today the organization got some support from some of the people it tries to help. Lauren Whaley reports.
Tommy and Deborah Beard have lived in their home in Watts for 24 years. Last year, the couple faced foreclosure because of a high-interest loan they could not pay. The community organizing group ACORN helped them get out of that sticky situation.
Anytime they need us, we're going to be there because they're there for us when we needed help. And yeah, we were very grateful to them, my wife and I.
ACORN may need the Beards and the 30 other people who gathered on the couple's lawn this morning as it battles to preserve its good name in the face of high-profile scandals.
Let's look at the core work of ACORN.
That's Mike Garcia from the Service Employees International Union.
They register voters. They fight for homeowners and renters.
ACORN has been around for 40 years, but it really came into the spotlight during the presidential race when many Republicans accused the group of forging voter registrations. The controversies continued last month when a conservative activist posted footage from a hidden camera that showed two ACORN employees offering advice on how to set up a prostitution ring. Angelica Salas, who runs the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, said these controversies distract from the good ACORN does. She says the employees in the video do not represent the entire group.
We are also here together in unity in face of the systematic smear campaigns and ugly attacks of frustrated political opponents.
Homeowner Deborah Beard says ACORN can bring back that voice of democracy.
And these community organizations that are getting together are giving us just that voice. They're teaching us to reach inside of us and pull out what's inside of us and let it come out.
ACORN will need these voices. Even as this event was ending, Fox News was releasing yet another allegedly controversial video on the internet. Lauren Whaley, Annenberg Radio News.
The African American Firefighter Museum commemorates the contribution black firefighters made to Los Angeles. Timothy Beckworth visited the station and talked to two firefighters who reflected on how much times have changed.
When Arnett Hartsfield became a firefighter, he had to join an all-black unit located Station Number 30 on Central and Pico. Now, more than 60 years later, he's the historian at the African American Firefighter Museum, located in the same station where he came to work every day. I caught up with Mr. Hartsfield while I was talking with his old friend, Roger Duncan, who joined the station after serving with Tuskegee Airmen in World War II.
If you could, just describe some of the things that we're seeing here.
This is the old dormitory. The first colored station was up on Belmont Avenue, and everything was fine up here until 1924. They started building Belmont High School. They didn't want colored firemen across the street from a high school, so they had a movement. They moved them into this station.
This was an all-black fire station?
Yeah. This is a picture of this station in 1925. I worked with half of the men that are standing. This man came on in 1904.
That's right.
This man passed the battalion chief's list in 1931, only to be told by the chief, the big chief, "Hall, it's a shame you're not a white man. We have no place nor plan for a colored battalion chief." And now Roger and I live to see 20 of them. And Sunday I went to the retirement dinner of a chief, Doug Berry, who is being succeeded in his office by another colored fireman, Milledge Peaks.
Did you ever think you'd live to see that?
No. In my 20 years, only two blacks made captain. We went 17 years without a black making captain. Because our captains couldn't promote to chief, and they were too stubborn to die.
They had the best job in the world.
This is Timothy Beckworth for Annenberg Radio News at Station Number 30, now the African American Firefighter Museum.
This Saturday, the African American Firefighter Museum will hold its annual fundraiser dance. Learn more at www.aaffmuseum.org. Now for the weather. Tonight expect a low of 60 degrees. Tomorrow will be warm and sunny with a high of 83 and an evening low of 62. This weekend, it'll stay warm for the USC game against Oregon State with highs in the low 80s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, LA might get a new football stadium. Find out how. The raid against the local gang Rolling 40s provoked many reactions from South LA community. Hannah Kim has reaction to the crackdown.
As news of the gang crackdown spread through South Los Angeles, many residents voiced their support for the police sweep. They say gang violence has plagued their neighborhoods, and they applauded the arrests of the members of the Rolling 40s gang.
It causes problems for a lot of people that live in the area, and I mean, if they're doing something about it, then that's good. At least there's not going to be as much crime in the area.
It really does need to be a crackdown on all the gangs, not just the Rolling 40s, but all of them, because too many senseless killings and things are happening that shouldn't be happening.
I lost a friend through gang violence. The police are doing a good job of it. Not that I support them or anything, but they're doing their job.
People are scared to come out or, you know, don't want to say anything when they see things like that. Because, you know, you've been around gangs in this area especially. Well, I think they should try to take them out.
But some people who work to prevent gang membership say some law enforcement measures only exacerbate the problem rather than fix it. Vernon Andrews is the founder and program director of Big Homies Mentorship Program.
You got too many injunctions. How are you going to put a gang injunction in a neighborhood where that hypothetically me and you brother and sister, and that they say we on the gang injunction and we having a family gathering, we can't be together? That's wrong, and that needs to be addressed. But people are scared because they don't want to confront the police department.
Still, community leaders say something must be done to alleviate the fear culture that gangs can create. Carol White is the head of the 90037 Neighborhood Council.
This has just been a problem that's been plaguing our community for some time. We have many residents that will report things to us as leaders of the community, but will not report activities to the police. So it's just something that has been very long coming and very much needed.
White says that while she and other residents are happy to hear about the gang sweep, they all hope that no innocent people were caught up in the arrests. Hannah Kim, Annenberg Radio News.
Earlier, I spoke to Georgia Leap, an adjunct associate professor at UCLA's School of Public Affairs. Leap offered us her thoughts on the effectiveness of gang raids. There were several raids that went on this morning in South Los Angeles. So in your opinion, are these raids working? Are they necessary?
The raids work in the short term. We know that crime is at 30-year lows, and they do work in the short term. My concern as a researcher and someone in the community is, are they going to work over the long term? And so far, we don't know. We don't know the impact they're going to have on people's lives a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
Are there any better alternatives, such as gang prevention programs? What else could be done?
I think there are absolutely better alternatives. First of all, you know, sit down and think about it. I believe it took 1,100 law enforcement professionals this morning to arrest 75 people. That's a lot of individuals out there in the field, over 1,000 people, and it was a long-term investigation. Probably the most important strategy we have is prevention, preventing children and youth from joining gangs in the first place. And we are not doing enough, we are not spending enough money to prevent this from happening. In addition to prevention, what we need is intervention. And we need intervention that not only goes out on the street and stops people from shooting at one another, we need intervention for people to get into programs, to get jobs, to go back to school, to get counseling, to help their communities, all of these things. And, you know, we're talking about one day, one moment, one morning, and this is a lifetime problem that we've got to deal with.
What else can we invest our money in that'll be more effective?
I think the most important thing that we've got to invest our money in, alongside jobs, and that, you know, the first three answers are jobs number one, jobs number two, jobs number three. I love the motto of Homeboy Industries, nothing stops a bullet like a job. 1 through 100 are jobs, and then after that, what we've got to do is really invest in our communities and in the idea that communities come together and work with social agencies, social service agencies, and our schools to help keep kids out of gangs and to help them get out of gangs once they're in there. We need our communities. We need social service programs to receive more money. Homeboy right now is in danger of closing its doors. They don't have enough money. These are the places we've got to put money into. We don't need to open new agencies. We need to support the agencies that are out there, the people that are out there, and our schools. You know, one morning arresting 75 people is not going to make a huge difference. What's going to make a huge difference is systemic change in the city and in the county, and we're inching towards that, but we must do more.
Georgia Leap is a gang and youth violence expert at UCLA. Governor Schwarzenegger came to Southern California today to help put Los Angeles back on the professional football map. As CJ Doblo reports, he's signing on to an effort to build a stadium in the city of industry.
State Assembly member Isidore Hall of Compton asked the obvious question.
I have one question for you. Are you ready for some football?
Yeah! LA has not had a football team in 15 years since they lost the Raiders. It's been on L.A.'s mind for some time to get an NFL team to come to L.A. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has helped a private developer clear a hurdle that could make an NFL team a reality. Governor Schwarzenegger held a formal bill signing ceremony surrounded by yellow, dried-out grassy hills in the city of Industry. The bill he signed would allow the developer to bypass restrictions of the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA. Schwarzenegger says that the law is meant to clear red tape, not ignore environmental concerns. He says that opponents have misused CEQA to stop the stadium.
It is clear that opponents aren't using CEQA for the sake of the environment, but they're abusing CEQA to stop the project just because they don't like it.
While the governor acknowledged that CEQA was overall a good law, stopping the stadium's development would also stop 18,000 jobs to come to California. Developer Ed Roski wants to build a 4.8 million square foot complex that features a retail center, an orthopedic hospital, and a 75,000 seat stadium. The governor's office says that the complex will have bragging rights to be the greenest NFL stadium. Building plans include solar panels and a design that will be built directly into the hillside, reducing the use of concrete and steel.
We worked with the two cities that were most impacted with it, and we're able to work with them and get an adequate solution for them and ourselves.
Among the opponents to the development was Bridget Bjerk. She was one of five protesters who rallied nearby, calling for a new Environmental Impact Report, or EIR. She says that Roski does not have the residents' best interests at heart.
We asked for a new and proper environmental impact report. In 2004, they came up with a plan that was essentially offices and warehouses and some other small things. Then, recently, they decided, oh, we're going to add this gigantic, huge stadium, and we're going to plop it in the middle, and oh, by the way, we don't think we need to do a new EIR. This is just a small little addition. Well, that's ludicrous.
Even though he has the clearance to build this stadium, they still need to convince an NFL team to come. Roski says that optimistically, it could take up to 2 years. This is CJ Doblo, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Derek Stahl to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Derek?
Yeah, thanks, Brittany. Well, you just heard about that new NFL stadium. We'll show you pictures of the proposal and give you all that more information. Also, a big gang crackdown this morning. We have an exclusive interview with the father of one of the Rolling 40s gang members. That's all coming up tonight on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
All right, Derek, thanks a lot. That wraps it up for us today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brittany Knotts. Good night.